This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and does not replace your own financial, tax, legal, or financial product advice.
Interest rates are increasing. We know that much. We know that it's getting expensive out there. Every part of our life, it's expensive. It's crazy, right? You might be out there wondering whether you should buy a house right now to live in, your first property, or perhaps you are looking at buying your first investment property. Well, this episode, John and I, we're going to talk about property, and John will answer the million-dollar question, should we buy right now? So if you are looking at getting a property, this episode is for you. It might be the reality check you need. It might be the clarification that you need to buy or not to buy. I actually record these intros like a week after we do the actual recording. So I record the intro the day before the podcast goes live, right? So I kind of forget what John was talking about, but this episode we are talking about property prices, and we kind of swing back around and talk about the cost of living as a bit of a second part to last week's episode, because following last week's episode, there was lots of good positive chatter in the Facebook group about people taking action, controlling what they can control. So John and I go a little bit deeper in this episode when it comes to cost of living out inflating inflation with your own income. So how do we get our income up longer term so these day-on-day inflationary issues don't spank us sideways? Now, this podcast, we do it for you, and we can't do it without the help of our Tuesday show partner, Tal. The connection between your financial, physical, and mental health is greater than you may realize, which is why when Tal looks at health, they take a holistic approach, because the balance of physical, mental, and financial health is key to overall health and well-being. That's Tal, T-A-L, ensuring this Australian life. How can you best protect your family and future against the unexpected? What are the benefits of insuring your income? If something were to happen to you, do you have a plan in place? At TAL, they want all Australians to enjoy the freedom that comes with being financially healthy. And these are some of the questions that can be addressed to help you set strong financial foundations. To learn more, head to tal.com.au, or if you are after a financial advisor to help with your foundations in relation to insurance, you can head to sortyourmoneyout.com, click get help. And while you're on the interwebs, check out mymillennialmoney/tour. We are out there. We're selling tickets to our live shows all over Australia. John's doing a property masterclass. My name's Glenn James, and you are listening to My Millennial Money. Hello, John Pigeon, host of the My Millennial Property Podcast. Welcome back to the Tuesday Chair.
Thank you, Glenn.
We've got a special guest today.
We have.
Unaccredited.
Yes.
Who have we got? What's your name, mate?
Tyler Pigeon.
Tyler Pigeon, look out. Yes. So what's your story, Tyler? What are you doing here on the podcast today?
Just on work experience with John.
Are you?
Yeah.
What have you been learning?
Oh, just what he does on day to day.
Yeah. So not much.
Nah.
How to drink coffee.
Yeah. So you're from Horsham, is that correct?
Yeah, near Horsham, yeah, yep.
And how
down
old are
Victoria?
You?
16 at the moment, yeah.
Yeah, nice. What do you want to do long term with your life?
Not real sure. Something to do with sport probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Into AFL?
Yeah, yep.
So coming and spending a week with me in the property space is relative to his passion, really.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Sounds like it. Sounds like you needed an easy way into work experience to have a holiday with your uncle.
So. I think so, but it's been a good week.
But anyway, we're going to be here. We've got Tyler on work experience. John, there's a lot of chatter out there. Every time, I don't know if you find it, John, you probably do more than me, that you'll meet someone or you haven't seen forever. And they're like, oh, so what do you think about the property prices? What do you think? What's good shares to buy? Because I'm in the money world and you're in the money world.
Yeah.
It clearly means that we've got a crystal ball, and it clearly means that we know what's going to happen
That's all the time.
So we know coming out of COVID that there was some huge peaks in a lot of things. You know, we had secondhand cars, recreational gear, camper vans, four-wheel drives, all that stuff going through the roof. We've had property prices shoot up throughout the last couple of years. We've got the cost of living increasing out of control due to energy supply issues due to inflation. Just, it's going nuts at the moment. Do you have any bold predictions on property prices? And if someone says to you, and this is the fantastic blanket statement, oh, so what are property prices going to do? What's the property market going to do? Yeah. Because there's only one market, John.
That's right.
So what do you say to that?
Yeah, look, and that point exactly. There are different markets around the country, but I think even more important than that, because in the last probably 5 years, house prices have gone north. They've gone upwards. Not necessarily the same for units or apartments. So not only is there different property markets, but there's different property types that perform at different rates according to the supply-demand, essentially. And there's many other factors that go into it, but supply-demand is the big one. So, look, going forward, I actually think the gap between units and houses generally around the major cities has widened in terms of its performance. So I see units and townhouses being basically, for a lot of people that want to stay living in the city and live in their own property, that being the only option to purchase. So what that means, it might put a bit more pressure on the demand for buying those type of stock, which may mean an increase in prices, or it may just mean there won't be oversupply of those certain types.
So if someone's looking to buy a house at the moment or a property, their first home, and they do have the savings, are we waiting 12 months?
Well, I don't think so. Like, and we did some analysis during the week here in the office, and of all the properties that our clients bought in 2019, the average return has been 105%. So basically in 3 years, their prices have doubled. So that's unrealistic expectations on property performance, and I don't think that will happen again for some time. But even if the market retracts 10%, those that have bought property are still going to be well ahead than if they didn't buy at all. Fast forward to now, we'll see more of a balanced market where I think it'll just retract back to the norms, the 5 to 7% per annum. So I don't think we're going backwards in any shape or form. And different to shares, and you've seen the share market perform pretty ordinary in the last couple of weeks, we can't see that with property. We can't check the price of it daily. So yes, we may see some sort of leveling out, but I can't see it going backwards.
I've got a bit of a basic view when it comes to buying a home to live in. And because when we're buying a home to live in, we're not buying that property with a view to sell it within 2 years, right? It's a longer term play. We know that we have accommodation costs in our life, albeit rent or mortgage repayments, right? Is it fair to say if we are buying a home to live in and we've got the deposit and we are still looking around, like, I don't think at the moment you would press pause too much because you've still got to live somewhere. And a lot of analysis that could be done, because the cost of rentals have gone through the roof as well.
Yeah.
It still might be better for you week on week to live in a home that you own.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a no-brainer for me at the minute. If you're contemplating, two things stop people from buying. One is having a deposit and lending money, and the second one is mindset. And if you've got the first one, you've got to get your head into the space that says, well, I need to buy now if it's a place to live in, because, as you said, rents are increasing. And generally speaking, rent growth follows capital growth, right? So the growth has already occurred. Now the rents are going to increase. Couple that with the fact that we're 10,000 dwellings a year short around the country. There's this whole rental shortage of properties. So, yeah, rents are skyrocketing. But generally speaking, the cost of money to lend is still pretty cheap, isn't it? When we look at the 100-year average, you're sitting around 5%, 6%, and we're still not there yet.
Yeah, and you talk about that percentage as the cost that you pay to the bank, not the Reserve Bank interest rate.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, fixed rates are out of control at the minute. Like, someone said to me the other day they were offered 5% to fix their money. Like, you wouldn't consider that at all. Mm. You can still get low twos as an interest rate variable. That may have shot to 2.5 by the time this airs, but, yeah, it's still pretty cheap.
Yeah. I think it's important to note that This is, I guess this is my unsolicited view of the world. Do I think a lot of housing stock will cool off? Yes. The only reason, because we can't have these crazy returns in every market for infinity. Like, there's cycles, there's markets, and, you know, people can now travel overseas. Like, just even recently in the Facebook group, more of you were asking about travel cards overseas and travel insurance, where when you couldn't travel, that 10 grand that you saved up to go to Europe, you would save it and, you know, oh, I'll just buy my home now. Yeah. And you would invest or buy your home to live in. So I do believe as the, you know, the borders are fully open now and people are coming back into Australia and, you know, I honestly think prices may cool off.
Yeah. So when you say cool off, do you mean go backwards or just not go forwards?
I'm not a property economist. I'm not from Core Data. I think cool off as in not go forward and maybe take 10% off.
Yeah.
In some areas. And we know that and I'll give you an example. It's common knowledge here on the podcast that I've just moved to Newcastle. One of the properties that I looked at to rent, there was 35 people there, right? The place that I'm currently in, it was empty for weeks.
Yep.
Now, completely different suburbs, different price points. The suburb that I'm currently in, to buy a house in there, you need $2.5 million, get changed out of $3 million. Like, there's a big range over $2 million. Down in the other place where it's a lower price point, maybe one and a half, we know that the bell curve of people who can afford those properties, there's more people there.
Yeah.
So I think in some types of markets, the bell curve of higher end properties, there might be less people buying them.
Yeah.
You might see a 10% contraction.
Yeah. And I think what you're referring to there, that 10% contraction, is in a heated market, let's use round numbers, a $2 million advertised property, the vendor wants 2.1 because it's a heated market, but it's probably only worth 1.9. So that's where your 10% comes in. It's like, well, I can buy it for 1.9 now. Last year I would have had to pay 2.1 because of the heat. So are we getting a discount? Maybe slightly.
We're just not paying hype.
We're just not paying too much for something. And that's where that balanced market is probably where it's at in most parts around the country. Like auction clearance rates in most capital cities are still pretty good. And we at one end we have a buyer's market where there's more stock available to the buyer than there is obviously vendors selling. And at the other end, we've got a vendor's hot market where they can nominate their price because there's too many buyers. We're sitting in that balance period now, I reckon.
So I reckon if you are looking to buy your first home, and we'll talk about the investors soon because this is, you know, if you're a first home buyer or you want to upgrade your home or move sideways, we're not, like, we're still having a strategy. We're still not doing wild, silly things. And I think one thing, I don't know if you found it, John, with some clients, like, have you seen where people, you know, they want to buy that house, it's for X amount, the bank vow comes in and it's a little bit short? Like, that can actually happen, right? If there is a bit of a lag.
Yeah, totally. And that's one example of a heated market that's starting to cool. For sure. So, yeah, you're definitely seeing that. But, yeah, you're right. The long-term strategy, it should never waver regardless of the type of market we're in.
Well, and that's what, like, I had a big rant a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. I was just like me alone for an hour talking about, like, the share market and all that stuff. Your strategy should not change if the market changes year on year, if it's a long-term strategy.
Yeah.
And I hypothesize that your strategy shouldn't change based on known events, and we know market volatility in any market is a known event.
Yeah.
And when it comes to buying our first home to live in or buying a home to live in, if you're buying a second home and selling the old one or whatnot, because we consume accommodation, as in we pay rent or we've got to pay to put a roof over our head, you've got to pay for accommodation costs. So if you do want to buy long-term, and you find the property that you fall in love with that's going to work, that's in the nice street, is it a little bit overheated? Maybe. Is it going to matter in 8 years? No.
No.
But
In a lot of markets, not all.
That's right. And this is why in terms of strategy, if it is a little bit of a, well, we want to buy a home to live in and then in 3 years move out and accrue money on the offset account and then keep it as an investment property, I would probably say maybe in at this time you may just go pause, come up for air and just buy it based on it being an investment even though you're going to live in it for a couple of years. Because you've kind of – I think when we're coming off a hot market, like it's all well and good in a market that's going north, it's all well and good to go, I'm going to buy a property, I'm going to live in a couple of years, I'm going to invest property, like happy days, all good. But if the tide's going out in some markets and you are buying a property that's going to be a long-term investment property, or by the way, we'll just live in it for 3 years because then we're relocating from Orange to wherever.
Yeah.
I think you have to have a little bit more strategy and call it an investment property that we're living in first, not call it a home.
Yeah, and that comes back to everyone's personal situation, doesn't it? Like I did a webinar yesterday and we looked at 8 things that people were worried about in the current space at the moment. So things like interest rates, change of government, cost of living, all those sort of things. And out of those 8 that we mentioned, only 2 of them we could actually do anything about. And I think that's the important thing to take away is, well, one of them was mindset and the other one was cash flow. So we can guarantee our cash flow, right? We can guarantee our mindset to be able to say, well, yeah, there's a lot of negative press out there. We've got to change the transcript and talk to people that are actually on the ground doing it and living it and taking action, not just simply listening to the media.
Tyler, property expert, 16 years old. Do you have any feedback for John or any input into this conversation?
Oh, it just sounds like you need to have the right mindset.
Yeah.
And that's very true in anything we do in life, isn't it?
Mindset don't pay the bills, bitch. Yeah. Well, maybe it does. But before we move on, because I do want to talk about how we inflation-proof our life, let's just keep going on this, do I buy property now or not, purely from an investing point of view. Because the more time that I've known you, John, the more of a drain you've been on my soul. I mean, the more that I've learned.
How do I put up with this, listeners?
The more that I've learned that buying a property, it's not something you just walk into and buy a property, and there's different types of stock. Like you buy a property, and I told you a story off the air the other day about a place of someone that I know who bought a place for maybe close to $2 million and was like, what'd you do that for? It's a 2.5% yield. Like, what are you doing? Like, no.
Yeah.
The more I've learned is not all properties the same in terms of what your strategy is.
No, and they all need to marry up. And the property shouldn't come before the strategy, which is often the case. And I was talking to someone yesterday who's literally been looking for 3 years, and that has cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars, I think. But they just kept wavering from what they thought they were going to buy because they didn't have a clear strategy to say, well, yeah, I won't change from that location, or I'm not going to change the type of property I buy, or I need to know my yield. And once I know that yield, then that eliminates a lot of the properties out there. But I think from an investing point of view, there's more agents ringing us than there was 6 months ago.
Really?
And that's a good sign of, hang on a minute, they need us more than ever now because properties are sitting around a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks longer than they were, and they know we've got buyers.
Oh, they're not used to it just getting walking off the shelf.
That's right. And the good agents will continue to survive and flourish. The new kids on the block that don't know the real world will come in with a rude shock in the next couple of years.
So what we're saying is we know categorically a couple of things. Number one, we know interest rates are increasing and we've been in abnormal low territory coming out of the GFC 10 years ago. It's basically come downhill, you know, down to pretty much zero.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a Reserve Bank policy and it does increase to 3.5%, which means 5% mortgage, pretty normal.
Yep.
Okay, so we know that. So we know that interest rates are only going up. We know that central banks increase interest rates to slow down the vibe of the economy,
yep,
to try and slow down and keep inflation in line. So we know that. We know that if things are slowing down and people have to pay more for rent at the moment, we know that if people have to pay more for their groceries, it might mean people can't save as much money, which could take some people out of the property market, which means that less people, less buyers, price comes down. Or, as you touched on before, maybe some markets, the price just goes sideways for a couple of years.
Mm.
So we know those structural things. You know, I don't, you know, everything I say on this podcast is worth exactly what you paid for it. Like, this is just me,
yeah,
shooting the breeze.
Yeah.
But is it like, is there any, yeah, other factual things that we know?
So I think, and this may be news to a lot of people out there, everyone blames investors for the increase in house prices, right? They're actually second in line. So we've got the biggest influence on house prices is upsizes. So, okay, we see some equity there. We've paid down our mortgage. Now we're going to buy a better home or get into a better location. So they're the number one factor, followed by investors, followed by first home buyers. So when you look at that, you think, well, are the upsizers going to continue to upsize? Right, well, the cost of money's greater now than it was 5 years ago. They'll have an impact, but not a major impact.
Mm.
Investors, they continue to invest. They realize that, okay, if they're using equity, if there's equity there, they're going to use it. If you get a good enough yield, it shouldn't worry your personal lifestyle choices. So they'll continue to invest. First home buyers is maybe where it changes. And that's where the government are continuing to put stimulus in to try and get the first homeowners in the market because they're not building enough houses. So that's where the focus needs to be and should be. But the question is, will first home buyers still be able to get into the market if they can't save the money they could 2 years ago?
Well, the biggest risk that we've got at the moment is people buying brand new homes because there's a shortage of labor builders. You know, I got a friend who runs a building company and he's screaming for good help.
Yeah.
My cousin Carly, they're building a house and it's had the roof done. Bloody squeaky chairs. What are you doing with this place?
It's the way you're sitting.
Yeah, I'm pretty chill. Another word out of you, Tyler. You're out of here, mate. You know, the frame's up. The,
yeah,
tiles, the colovon's on. Mm. No bricks.
Mm.
And I think there's going to be just a couple of weeks ago, there was a story on 7:30 on ABC, the number of construction companies folding because they've all put these fixed price contracts on these properties,
yeah,
and building costs have doubled.
Yeah.
And it's flushing them. So that I think is the biggest risk at the moment. If you are looking to buy your first home,
mm,
if you are building, maybe see if you can buy your first home that's new, that's already completed, which is maybe harder. I mean, it's not impossible. I did that with my first home. But lots going on out there, and that's why it's just always, you know, back to that mindset thing, have the mindset of, no, I can only control what I can control. I need to be strategic. If we need to have a clarity call with John and spend an hour on the phone with John and just have a third-party sounding board.
Yeah, and I think it's the – we're doing a lot of educational stuff at the moment on, hang on, guys, the world's not about to cave in.
And life goes on.
Yeah, and everyone adjusts to the new norm. Mm. And for a lot of listeners, we have had a massive change from what you used to. Interest rates are now no longer going down, they're going up, mm, right? So that's a change. We're no longer in COVID and we want to spend a little bit more I suppose, discretional money. So now we have to treat it a bit more seriously than maybe we did 2 years ago. But that, that's a good thing. We adjust to that and we have the discipline and mindset to drive forward. But just stop reading the media that says it's all doom and gloom with interest rates and prices crashing and share market out of control and change of government and cost of petrol. Like, replace that with positive information and surround yourself with the right people, really.
Yeah. Well, let's have a chat about ways to inflation-proof your life. So it is getting more expensive out there. I was having lunch today at a cafe and the owner said that they're just about to increase all their prices because the cost of goods have just increased. So it's tough out there.
Mm.
Thankfully, if you're on a minimum wage in the last couple of weeks, the Fair Work Commission has recommended a 5% increase to the minimum wage. So that's some help for those on that. And I'd imagine it flows through to the awards in due course. So, you know, this is a very interesting time. And at other times when we've seen share markets really cool down and, you know, all this stuff happen, we've often said, well, the structural things of the economy are fine, so don't worry about it. Well, this time's actually different, and I'm not saying this in a fear way, but it's different because we've got flow-on effects with the cost of energy from the war. We've got inflation, fuel prices, like wages are low, like interest rates are increasing. So this time it is a little bit different. So I just wanted to chew the breeze with both of you and think about ways that we can inflation-proof our life, and then we'll have a break, and then we'll, instead of having the community member section of the week and we read a couple of things, we're going to read all and a heap of stuff about money hacks that you guys have put in the Facebook group. But before I throw to you, John, I just wanted to tell everyone on that property thing, if you are worried or you want to just double-check your strategy, Clarity Call, John Pigeon, $350, third-party sounding board. If you're about to drop $700,000 and you're a bit unsure, well, why wouldn't you spend a couple hundred dollars just, you know, getting a sanity check? And full disclosure, I do not get 1 cent out of that. But we might increase them to $400 and I'll take $50. So I wrote a little list of ways that we can inflation-proof our life. What have you got, John?
Well, I'm not sure if this is inflation proofing as such, but one thing that's really evident out there at the moment, you mentioned before, is unemployment extremely low. Can't get enough workers. There's a shortage of skilled workers out there. So I'm saying to people, we know there's two ways that we can increase our savings as such. One is to spend less and the other is obviously to earn more. So is it a time now that we say we don't press the emergency button, but we just maybe think about what the next 10 years looks like for us and say, well, we pivot left or right and change jobs, industries, upskill, whatever that may be. Right now, some of you may have been preparing for this moment and it shouldn't be a surprise that interest rates are rising. But the cost of living has maybe grabbed us by the neck a little bit because of things out of our control. So how do we combat that as opposed to just sitting in the corner and letting it happen to us? So that would be my first observation.
Mm.
Why are you smiling when I said that?
Oh, no, I was just thinking you probably didn't hear it because you don't listen to the episodes that I do solo.
Right.
But a couple of weeks ago when I did my kind of monologue where you talked about the emergency siren.
Yeah.
At the start of the episode, I
played it.
Yeah, I'll show you what I had at the start of the episode. And then I had this. Freak so many people out.
It would have too.
But it was awesome. But I think I've said this and You know, I repeat myself a lot, but I'm basic and I do this for my own benefit. Number one, if you're anxious about money, if you're worried about rent increasing, if you're worried about the cost of food, if you're worried about the cost of fuel, guess what? That's totally normal because we live in reality and that is the reality.
Yeah. And worst case, it's here to stay.
That's right. So what we need to do is acknowledge that, yes, you're not like tricking yourself up and in a thought spiral, like, this is actually real. It is costing more to live. But we need to control what we can control. And if that means getting your budget out, getting your Glenn James spending plan spreadsheet back up and blow the cobwebs off it.
I saw one of those the other day in one of the Clarity calls actually.
Did they love it?
Sent it through to me. Yeah, they live by
frothing it.
Yes.
What I would say is let's go line by item, every single cent that we spend. Open your bank account and we get micro and go, that was a Woolworths, $80. Okay, I'm going to do an autopsy on that. Next time I go to Woolworths, I'm going to really, you know, instead of getting lettuce, I'm getting canned lettuce.
Jeez, or, how expensive is lettuce?
Don't know, don't buy it.
$14 I heard in Matawa.
Yeah.
The Wimmera, shout out to the Wimmera people.
Yeah. Local IGA down there, is it?
Yeah.
Giddy up.
They're the only one.
Remember Black and Gold? Did you grow up with Black and Gold? Yeah. Pop's house in Gloucester. They had IGA and it was Black and Gold. Yeah. So it's the grocery thing. And then it might be my power bill. Well, you might not be able to control it that much. Give them a call, see if we can make an adjustment. Might be then, I pay for Netflix, I pay for Stan, I pay for Binge, I pay for Foxtel, I pay for Apple Plus, I pay for Amazon Prime.
Tyler, this sounds like Glenn's life, to be honest.
Yeah, that's actually my subscriptions. I can control that. So I might go, you know what, I haven't watched Apple Plus in a year, going to cancel it.
Yeah.
We go through different line items. Fuel, I can't control it, but what I can do is download like the fuel apps or, you know, there's a state-based one or New South Wales have a fuel app where you can look at the area and it tells you the fuel price. So it's about optimizing the one percenters.
Yeah.
And a lot of us haven't had to optimize the one percenters almost ever because it hasn't been savage out there.
No.
But now it is savage.
Yeah.
So we have to control what we can control. And then my second point, John, since you asked so nicely, we really need to go back to that analysis with discretionary spending, if you're in a position to have the discretionary money to spend.
Yeah.
It's a wants versus needs analysis. Do I actually need this? Or do I want it?
Yeah.
Like, and we just have to be hyperactive.
Yeah. So there's and I love all that, by the way.
Thanks.
There's, I think, two categories that I'm putting people in at the moment. Mm. Those that have got a mortgage, those that haven't. They're wanting a mortgage at some stage. When I say mortgage, house to live in and pay that off, versus those that have got a mortgage freaking out because interest rates are rising, cost of living increasing. So,
sorry, they do not have a mortgage. They're renting at the moment?
Yes. Well, they're doing something. They're either living at home,
sure,
free vesting, or they're renting, paying money each week, and that's probably going up, isn't it, as is the cost of living, et cetera. So I think where was I going with that? Basically saying, well, what can I control if I'm one or the other? Because we can't put everyone in the one bucket, can we? We've got to separate that.
And we need to look at our own situation. I wrote down, like, in tough times, if we just reverse back and all think of before the first COVID shutdown – when everything stopped, people getting laid off. Like at that time, you were like, well, what could I have done before? Could I have not had consumer debt? Could I have, you know, not just blown every cent that walked into my life?
Mm.
So I don't think it's getting any easier anytime in the short term. So how can we really look at just getting back and prioritizing?
Yeah.
Those who have my book, you can have a look at the My Money Hierarchy and just remind yourself about prioritizing things in your budget. So if you're struggling to pay your power bill, well, maybe we can't do yoga 3 times a week. Mm. I don't know, just saying, knock yourself out. You do you.
Do it at home.
But make sure that you're prioritizing in your world and making sure you're not having luxuries in the basic necessity pile of money.
And that aligns to your values.
Yep.
And that health play comes in.
Yep.
Because we don't want to be mentally drained, stressed because of money, and also not healthy, not getting enough sleep, eating well, etc.
So what I want to also chat about is, so we've said all this cute stuff, right? Like,
yeah. And can I just add to that cute stuff?
Yeah. Because I want to get to the meat.
I know. I see myself in the middle of the millennials younger, and the people that went through 18% interest rates are older.
You're basically a boomer, aren't you?
No. I'm talking about the boomers here.
Sure.
Right. So they went through, remember, it was never as bad as the 18% days that we had to go through, right? That line we've probably heard 100 times. There was a difference back then in that the mortgages weren't as high. So there might have been 18% interest rates, but their mortgage might have only been 150 or 200,000.
Mm.
Now we've got 4% interest rates and our mortgage is
10 times income, not 4 times or whatever it is.
So we've got to understand that it's not that dissimilar to the 18% days. So what they had to do, and speaking to a lot of them over the years, is, well, they had to bunker down and survive through it. Did they survive through it? Yes. You don't hear too many stories of, I lost everything through those times. They worked it out and adjusted to that norm, and some even fixed it in through fear. And that's the other thing that we're going to talk about is, well, if it's at 18%, we want to get some surety, so we'll fix it in at 19 and then it drops to 15, right? That's what some people did through those times. So don't go acting emotionally through that, but understand that, adjust to the new norm with those priorities that you spoke about, with those high values.
Mm. Tyler, anything you'd like to add?
Just an old saying, tough times create hard people.
Look at that.
He is destined.
There you go.
So, Tyler, in your life, you're earning money.
Yep.
Right.
What do you do for work?
Yep. Odd jobs at the farm, yeah.
Yep. And you work in the butcher shop?
Oh, not anymore.
Oh, you quit?
Yeah.
Yeah, they weren't vegan.
Weren't paying you enough?
No.
Okay. Yeah. So a lot of your expenditure is non-existent, in the sense that you can just decide what you spend your money on. You don't have to pay board. You're still at home, year 11. Do you have a savings plan?
No.
All right, maybe Glenn can sign the book and give it to him on the way out.
Yeah, I love that quote though. But let's get onto the crux of this. Just as a parallel, like we talked about how to inflation-proof our life, okay? Before I came here today, I was at the GP. It's my second home apparently.
Sounds like it.
Now, funny story, I was going to tell you later because it's just a bit hilarious. So my blood pressure has been high, and they picked it up when I had my last surgery, and like, oh, you might want to get that checked out. And so the doctor, like last month when I went there, he goes, oh, do you have any high blood pressure in your family? I'm like, nah, they're all good. He goes, all right, well, I buy the blood pressure machine, check it every couple of days, keep a log. So I've gone back to him today and shown him the log. But I text mum and I said, oh, just, are you and dad on any high blood pressure in the family? And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm on 4 medications and dad's on 3.
So when you filled out your insurance questionnaire, you were oblivious to it all.
Well, no, because I didn't have any symptoms at the time, so that's all good. So what I want to get at in that parallel, my blood pressure is borderline need to treat.
Right.
The doctor said, look, it's borderline. You need to lose some weight, because we know there's a correlation there with if your BMI is over and you're overweight, weight comes down, blood pressure will come down, change your diet, blah, 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 blah. And he said something interesting. He said, the thing with this high blood pressure that's borderline, it's not a, I'm paraphrasing here, mission critical, get to the hospital today, Glenn, and, you know, plug into the machine and give him IV meds, like this is mission critical today. He said it's kind of like the issues that come on from blood pressure, it might present in 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's a slow burn. And I was just thinking then, like, we were talking about like how to inflation-proof our life. Well, sure, we can do all the cute things and look at our budget, check the fuel prices and be ultra micro, but that's not going to solve all the problems for everyone. So we need to go back and have a look at the structural things in our life.
Mm.
What are we doing for work? We've just talked about the minimum wage, and it's great that we've got an increased minimum wage, but how can we have a conversation that can I start to move towards like the blood pressure, like in 10 years' time, I start to do stuff today so there's a long-term effect? Because it isn't – for some people it is. I get that. I know a lot of our core audience, if you're new to the podcast, our main audience, the median income is $91,000. So it's a high-income audience, this income in this audience, right? So please have grace if I'm talking to that person who's earning 90 grand a year with no consumer debt. These things, it might be a bit painful at the pump now and all that stuff, but if you really want to inflation-proof your life, we need to look at the structural things.
Yeah.
And I actually, at the time of recording this, and this is going up on the 28th of June, I was doing a heap of donations the other day, end of financial year, and then one charity, Forever Projects, who we support. I've just committed to do a monthly. They've got a thing called Core Communities, where people that want to go above and beyond and do $500 a month. So I'm like, yep, I'm going to commit to that for the next 12 months. Be part of it because it's a great charity. Check them out, Forever Projects. And he wrote to me, said, "Oh, look, you did it through online through the the Visa debit portal." I'm going somewhere with these guys, hang in there.
Yeah, I'm wondering where this is going.
we're going there really slow. He said, "Oh, you know, the core community is $500 a month. Did you just do $550 to cover fees? Because you can just do direct transfer to our bank account and not use the debit fees and all that stuff." And I said, "Well, no, because I did the $550 because in my life, the minimum that's required isn't generous.
Mm.
I'm not aiming just for the minimum." And this is a wild thing, and it could be offensive to a lot of people. But in your life, can you aim long? I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm not talking about next week. I'm not talking about next year even. Can we aim to be on a salary that is above the minimum wage?
Yeah.
Can we aim with our life to be on a salary that is above your level 3 miscellaneous clerk award?
Mm.
And even me speaking from an employer point of view, yes, our team is on the miscellaneous award, but I've never paid an employee based on the level and the award rate because I believe just doing the bare minimum isn't good enough for me as an employer. I always want to ensure that I'm always paying them above the award.
Yeah, and it creates, I suppose, an image that that's what you'll get in return as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So it's smart by the employer to do that, number one.
And that's why, like, get encouraged with your career. We've got the My Millennial Career podcast. We know a big investment. So and that's kind of what else am I thinking? Well, we need to have these inflation-proof things in our life. We need to make sure that long-term, again, we can't change this tomorrow, but if you're spending 40% of your income on rent, that's actually not sustainable for your life for the long-term. How do we either increase income, decrease rent to get that accommodation cost at under 30% of your income?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think one of the big things that it goes without saying but it's often put to the side is our goal and habits. What's going to be changing in the next 3 to 5 years? Is there a chance that we're going to start a family? Is there going to be one income instead of two for a while? Are we moving out of home, therefore our cost of living increases? So not just looking at the next 6 to 12 months or 6 minutes, but looking at the next 5 to 10 even and reverse engineering that and saying, well, I'm going to have kids in 5 years. How much do I need to just kickstart that?
And this, like, I've talked about this for a long time. It's like we've got two eyes for a reason, one to be down on now, one to be up on the future.
Mm.
And that's the straddling. So what are the things that you can do in your life today to stop the bleeding, you know, put the Band-Aid on, you know, we'll look at our budget. We'll control what we can control. But longer term, we need to go out and get some stitches and really repair that wound.
That's right. Yeah, you don't want to just strap the ankle and the shin. You want to be able to strengthen it so it's going to
If there's
avoid
an
injury.
Analogy shop, I'm selling them, aren't I?
You are.
For very cheap.
That's right. I think Tyler's winning with his quote today, though.
That was pretty good. Do you have any input after my tirade verbal rampage?
Nah, it's all good.
You like what I had to say, did you?
Yeah.
Just dripping gold over here.
All about the mindset.
Yeah, love that.
He's a pretty relaxed type of kid. Actually, one thing that impressed me today, we travelled to Sydney. I took him to an AFL club and gave him a nice sporting experience, back to some strength and conditioning and everything else. He did not pick his phone up once on the way there and on the way back.
Jeez.
I'm thinking, 16-year-old boy.
Hasn't got the addiction built in yet.
Yes, their heads are in the phone the whole time, but no, he just wanted to chat and learn.
What phone do you have?
Oh, no, like an 8 or something.
It's an iPhone though.
Yeah,
you got iMessage.
Yeah.
It's annoying messaging him, isn't it? Bloody green messages. Who's this guy?
Green.
Yeah, we get your messages in green. I still stand by this. I don't know if I verbally said it on the podcast. I will buy you an iPhone.
No, I don't.
I'll give you a top of the line. I'll transfer $1,000 into your account right now.
I'll post it back to you.
Wow.
Can't airdrop him anything.
No, it's ridiculous, this guy.
Well, it's good to be different.
So, well, we've almost filled up the episode. But, yeah, I just think it's these broader concepts of what are you doing for the you of tomorrow? The house isn't on fire today.
No.
But we need to pay attention because with all these long-term inflationary things and interest rates, I can see smoke on the horizon.
Mm. And we need to have insurance for if it does catch on fire.
Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you about – we'll do an after party today. Actually, do you want to just end it there? Whatever. We'll take a break and we'll be right back.
If you're after personal financial advice, don't get it from a podcast. If you would like help based on your own personal situation, head over to sortyourmoneyout.com, click get help, and we'd be happy to introduce you to one of our trusted advisors. Our panel of advisors, mortgage brokers, and accountants work with clients all over Australia so they can connect with you wherever you are. That's sortyourmoneyout.com and click get help.
Okay, we're back. Now we're going to go through and read a heap of your posts about different money hacks that you guys have. Tyler, do you want to pick a name and read one of them out?
Yeah, Haley said, this will hit home with Johnny, make coffee at home.
Oh, that's a good one, Haley. Love it.
Yeah, you can actually save a lot of money doing that.
But Haley, if you're listening, I find that I have one or two at home and then I just want that extra one out as well. So, yeah.
This is like, and I say it every time, but like the correlation between personal finances and your own health, it's so wild and I really fall down with my own health. And like, because I'm reading this stuff, like Joanne Padden said, no credit cards and no afterpay. Man's. Don't know what that means. Is that actually a business page in the group? Got to remove that. Take your lunch to work. Scott Critchley says, shop at Aldi. Like, all this stuff is basic. And even with your personal health, it's basic. We know that, you know, a lot of weight loss, energy in, energy out, and have a deficit, right?
Yeah.
Like, but it's harder to do.
I was actually quite a snob the other day, which I'm not proud of.
Mm-hmm.
I went to order a coffee out of a coffee van. And
probably would have been crap anyway, most of them are.
Well, I said, can I grab an almond latte? Because I like almond. And he goes, it's a bit flash for a Sunday morning or whatever he said. And I said, so I started to question. It's like, where'd you get your almond milk? It's like Aldi. I said, just make it a flat white, thanks. It's like, well, yeah. Any case, Robbie Rowland says, take your own refillable bottle of water from home. That's a really easy one.
I've made it a thing not to buy water out. I've got my can't lift it with my.
And the kids
still,
always want to
still recovering
water
from my wrist surgery.
Here's your other hand.
That's why I said ow. Like I take my bottle to my bag. Mm. I've got a bottle of water in my car. I just don't buy it anymore.
It's easy, isn't it? Adrian Smoothsuit, don't buy what you want. 100% savings right there. And that's easier said than done, isn't it? It's willpower, it's discipline.
Well, all this crap is easier said than done. Jennifer Nord, live where you work, work where you live. Live where you work, work where you live.
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds like her name's Gandhi.
She works from home.
Fuel prices and toll fees are high. You got any over there, Tyler?
Yeah, Jonathan Raymond, bit of a suck up. He said, Glenn James spending plan.
He's my boy. But that goes in line with Charlotte Jane said, automate your finances. And that's removing you from the process. Grace West says, split your pay into different bank accounts direct from your work. I'm actually going to push back on that. And I'll tell you why in a second. And then she goes on to say, so you only see what you can spend. You never, quote unquote, see your savings. I'm not a fan of getting your work to manage your money for you.
No.
I'm more of a fan of you learning how to manage your money and change the behaviors yourself to build in that management long term.
Yeah, it's got to be.
And that's the Glenn James spending plan. If you haven't done that, it's one way you can support the show. Yeah. You know, we charge a fee for that online course. There's like 18 different videos. You can download the spreadsheet. There's the first tab you put your income in. The second tab, you put all your expenses. I'll prompt you with every living expense. The third tab, it will tell you how much to put into what account each week, completely automated. And the goal is that you outgrow my system.
Yeah.
You change your behaviors and you adapt your own system.
Yeah.
It's the biggest compliment to me if someone says, oh, Glenn, I don't use your spending plan anymore. I love that anymore thing.
Yeah. And hopefully it's because they've got their own system that's working now.
Yeah, not because they've fallen off the wagon or on the wagon or whatever the saying is.
So Aaron Black, no kids, no dogs. I have both and I think about 80% of our income is to cover them. Mm. True that, Aaron. How's the cost of groceries in the Facebook page? Like,
I did see that, yeah.
Like $80, $100, $200 a fortnight. Like, what are they eating?
Yeah, but it's just different. Like, I think I've said on there, like, since I moved to Newey, I've been slipping down to the Harris Farm Markets on Derby Street.
Because it's just cheaper than the groceries?
No, it's bloody expensive. And you go in and you buy five little things and it's like $83.50. I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And that's the difference. It's like, well, I did buy some nice cheese and, you know, I bought a nice, like, I fill it at $70 a kilo. I'm like, nah, this is just actually ridiculous.
Mm. How's Sophie Angus get COVID and isolate for 7 days so you're forced to stay inside and save money? And that Amy and I were talking about this the other week.
Mm.
It's like part of us is it bad to say that part of us wants to get COVID again so we just bunker down?
I haven't had it yet.
You haven't had it at all?
No. Have you had it, Tyler?
Yeah, I've had it. Yeah.
No. Not that I know of. I'll say I haven't had it that I know of.
Yeah. Had everything else.
You got any over there?
Paula Carbonilla said, live with the parents and drive a 10-year-old car. Yes.
It's working for me. See, that's what car do you drive? Oh, you got your L's?
Living with the parents.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's all well and good, but if you're 32 with three kids, it might be a little bit different.
True. Yeah, you got to.
And I think there's there does come a stage in a young man or young woman's life where you should actually leave the nest and, you know, become an adult.
But I agree that it works for a period of time. Absolutely. To get a result.
Yep.
Mm. And please do the dishes and cook and clean. Yeah.
What else have you got, Tyler?
Hannah said, find joy in free and cheap things like bushwalking, picnics on the beach, special dinners at home, rather than going out all the time.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yep.
People are forced to do it now. The old saying of we've got to hit rock bottom for us to change. Well, let's not hit rock bottom. Let's just change.
Yeah. Yep. Slam Dunks. It's an interesting name. Think about why you want the thing. Consider what feeling it's going to give you. That's what you're really chasing. And we've talked about this lots before, like scratching the itch. Asher, who does the voiceover, you know, at the end and the disclaimer at the start, we did an episode with him once where, you know, he got car fever and wanted to buy, you know, the new car with a loan and all that. He saved up and bought a second-hand car with cash and it scratched that itch of I need a new car, that feeling, and it saved him money. So in your life, if you need something that's consumable to make yourself feel good or you just want it, can you step back and say, well, what will scratch this itch? And it could be, well, we want to completely renovate the house. Yeah, well, you might not have 70 grand right now.
Yeah.
It's probably a cheap renovation. But can you say, well, let's go to Bunnings, let's buy a heap of paint, let's give everything a fresh lick of paint.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scratch that itch for $1,000 because I've just repainted my place and I'm sorry that I've disrespected the whole painting industry and all you professionals out there, but it's not cheap paint.
No.
But $1,000 on some paint for, you know, a few tins might be better than a big expense and you get that same outcome.
Yeah.
So scratch the itch and scratch it with cash.
Now, this one had a bit of support on the page. Jessica Sowden says, every time I have second thoughts about spending money on a splurge item but decide not to, I'll put that amount of money in my savings.
That's good.
I would consider spending it, I can certainly afford to save it. So pretty boring approach to save it instead of spend it, but hello, we've got to do it.
You've got some local wildlife here hanging out today. What's your name, young lady?
Molly.
Molly.
Got the whole clan in today, haven't we?
Molly. Yeah. Molly.
Molly's been at an AFL gala day, so she's dragged herself along with Dad and Tyler.
There's one here, Michelle Link. Use Flybuys each grocery shop at Coles and transfer the points to dollars at Christmas time to pay for food or gifts. We usually have $400 to $500 each Christmas for our weekly grocery shop. We don't do anything special other than active special offers that are relevant to us. Extra money for no effort, essentially. Okay, so just on that, I've just purchased a new microwave and I was paid to do a promotion on Instagram with cash rewards. This isn't part of the ad and I probably shouldn't be saying this because they're not paying for it, but whatever. I used the cash rewards and the shop backy things to get the cash back.
All right.
And these are these micro things that you can control. So definitely do that. Make a rule in your life, people, that you do not buy white goods unless they're on sale. You do not buy microwaves unless they're on sale.
Yeah.
You do not buy any big chunky items. I've just bought a whole heap of new furniture. I went to Brosa, the website, B-R-O-S-A, I think it is.
Right.
Got a heap of furniture, new stuff. It was all on sale because realistically, the price you're paying on sales is the actual cost.
Yeah. They brought it up and then brought it back down again.
So don't do anything unless it's on sale. And then what I probably would say as well, just on that, some of the expensive things that I've noticed in my shopping cart are the dishwasher tablets, laundry powder, like weird stuff like that. It's bloody expensive. I only buy that when it's half price. And what you need to do is you just need to keep an eye on it. So if you're getting down with your laundry powder and you're like, oh, yeah, it's a quarter of a tub left, I'm on alert mode. So if I'm walking through Woolworths and I see it, I then get it on special or I wait. So there are some non-negotiables that I do not buy at full price.
Is there some sort of app or alert system that says, well, if you put these items into a system, there's a red book or a black book that comes up with, yeah, these guys are on special.
No, but I think, you know, another way to really control the controllables is download the Coles app, download the Woolworths app, do your shopping online and do the click and collect. So at least you can go, look, I've got X amount to spend this week on groceries. I'm going to ensure that I don't go over.
Yeah.
And on their apps, they'll have specials. Now, we haven't talked about this in recent past, but if you had to go to the grocery store this afternoon, Woolworths, Coles or Aldi or IGA, who are you, John Pigeon?
Yeah, I try to avoid them all, to be honest, and because it freaks me out as how much everything costs. But I have, for some reason, always Woolworths.
Yeah, good boy.
And it's probably the laziness in
Team Wow.
Because when we walk into the local shopping centre, it's the first one on your right and it's just
easy. You park at that end, it is.
Well, that's again, that's closest park from where I'm coming from. So Coles is further down and so is Aldi. But, yeah.
I just think, I don't know, I'd appreciate your take, Tyler, on these important issues. Like Coles, can you renovate your shops, please? They're old,
yeah.
Red, because red's like naughty. bad, stop. It's a such a negative colour.
Yeah, it's a nice brand, Woolworths.
Yeah,
and they make they've a got lot of money
new,
off
new store. I just, to be honest, I'm just a Woolworths guy.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
I'm being completely honest.
Tyler, what are you?
It's an inviting kind of shop, I reckon.
Woolworths. It is inviting.
Are you yeah. team Woolworths?
Yeah.
Yeah, love that.
I like. I don't know if Coles do this or Aldi, but the free fruit for kids is great. Yeah. Like that gets me.
Yeah.
Do you care yourself as a kid when you go in
Maybe.
There?
I saw someone the other day snap the stalk off the broccoli.
For the weight.
Yeah, I did it myself as well.
Oh, no.
I feel guilty. I'm not doing it again.
There's an element of, like, this is a fantastic segment, by the way. There's an element of me in this says, well, okay, we can save 4 cents a litre on petrol. We can wait till our white goods get on special. We can save here. We can save there. We can be real anal about what we're spending in every area of our life. But we still need to look at the bigger picture of creating wealth so that we don't have to worry about the little things.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is funny. Like, I just wrote down, we always – you have to build the habit that you're alert and that you're conscious
yep.
to a lot of these big things. Like, but still build your career. Like, it all adds up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, I'm like, yeah, I'm hyper conscious of not paying for laundry detergent. I get the Fab one, front loader, and I get Finish Platinum tablets, whatever yeah. they are. I've made it. I do not buy them at full price.
Nah.
Like, I just don't. Now, the thing is, if I had to spend the extra $7 and buy the tablets full price, not changing my life.
Yeah.
But I've just made a conscious decision to be alert, to be in the habit
yeah.
with those structural spending things.
Yeah, you've prioritised that. And coming back to Aaron Black, who's saying no kids, no dogs, like, life as family gets extremely busy, so you have to be really organised to say, well, if it's Sunday afternoon or Sunday night, we sit down and plan that week of going to the shops to buy stuff, because you don't want to buy three things one day and five the next, because you end up spending more than what you normally would. So to do what you're saying creates a lot or needs a lot of organisation.
Yeah, but it is building that habit.
Yeah.
And by me doing that, I'm not tight, I'm not cheap.
No.
It's just
smart.
It's just being alert yeah. and conscious to your spending and yeah. not lazy.
Absolutely. But if you add a partner and two or three kids under 10 to the mix, now we've got other things in our life that we've also take priority.
Oh, everything compounds, yeah.
Everything's busy, isn't it?
Yep.
So it's really being organized.
Yep. Mm. Totally. There's a good one here from Jess Sully. I think about the cost in terms of not just cash, that if $100 gadget said 5 hours of work on the tag, would it be as appealing? So basically, we're trading our time for money. So if you earn $20 an hour and it's $100, well, that's cost you 5 hours sitting at the desk at the job you hate.
That might hurt. Yeah. I've never asked you this, Tyler. How much does Dad pay?
Nah, I don't know.
Undisclosed.
Yeah. Undisclosed.
Doesn't want it to go national.
Yeah. I think it, and Jay Thwaites said, my hack is to do similar, except don't think of it as 5 hours of work, but as how many hours it takes you to save that amount. E.g., if you save $100 per week after all expenses, then ask yourself if that gadget is worth a week's worth of work.
Mm, that's good. Tina O'Shaughnessy's, it's a good one for the women out there. Maternity clothes, they are not cheap.
Mm.
And the point she raises is an awesome one, because you only need them for a short period of time. So can we get some discount codes or just not pay full price for them like we can anything else? But certainly things like that, and kids' clothes are the same. It's like we're not going to need them for the long term. They're not going to last 10 years or be practical for 10 years. So let's
Ellie Mae Mullen said, no spend year on clothes. We really don't need them. So, yeah, can you say, well, I'm going to try and get through this season without buying a new coat? Well, I'm going to get through this season without buying a new hoodie.
Yes.
Can you do something like that?
It's funny.
Going on out there.
No, I was just smiling because I was thinking, I spoke to a group of athletes last week who get all their uniforms given to them.
Mm.
And we're talking about savings on clothing, buying new clothes. It's like, well, can we just wear our uniform more? Can we wear our sports gear more instead of having to buy the latest designer shoes and pants and whatever else?
Sponsors will like that.
They will love that.
Have you got any left over there, Tyler?
Yeah, Maddie Brown said, use cash and leave your card at home to prevent impulse purchases.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, we are moving away from a cash society, so you have to really do what works, but the principles are there. Like, it's that removing the impulse or having some guardrails in your life.
Yeah, interesting one, that. And I've spoken to a few people about this recently. If you had $1,000 of cash in your wallet, well, let's say 100.
Jeez, we're not all like you.
No.
Rich much?
Versus having a card, which one do you think works better? Because I've got friends that actually spend more when they've got cash as opposed to when they're using a card.
Well, this is this whole thing, like, identify who you are and how you operate and first know yourself and be an adult and say, I can't control myself if I had 5 tubs of Ben and Jerry's in the freezer.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to buy 5 tubs of Ben and Jerry's and put in the freezer.
Yeah. That's your personal situation.
Yeah, like, I know myself.
Yes.
And I'm an adult, so I try and not have ice cream once a week.
Yeah.
Like, it's as simple as that.
Mm. And I know, again, a lot of people have cash jobs.
Mm.
And they see that as basically free money. It's like, well, it came in, it's cash, it's going out. No real concern about what I spend it on. So,
all right.
Again,
we're going to move on. Anna Martin, have a few no spend days per cycle. That's a goodie. Anything over there, Tyler?
Nina said, every year I call my car, home, and landlord insurer and ask for a discount. Saves about $1,000 a year.
Yeah.
Mm. Insurances have gone up a lot.
Yeah.
Haven't they? So we need to shop around. Mm. Actually, speaking of Woolworths, I took out some Woolworths car insurance.
Did you? Mm. Who's their underwriter?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's what I'll be finding out, boy. I just pay NRMA, AIG. Always had claims, always been good, pay a little bit more, but they've been no trouble at all.
Oh.
Yeah.
Each to their own.
Well, I mean, I just buy my groceries from Woolworths, not my insurance, basically. I go to my insurer for my insurance.
Yeah.
Because usually it's a white-labeled product and it's not their core business and they're just profiting off the traffic like Johnson Pigeon.
That's right. That's right. But is it a policy that's acceptable?
I don't know. You'd have to read the product disclosure statement and the target market determination to ensure that that product is suitable for your needs.
Mm. I believe it is based on the price.
And also, I don't actually care what insurance you or anyone else has. So.
No.
Just a commento.
Yeah, no,
what else?
Valid.
What have you got over there, Johnson?
Kerry Ware, write down every cent you spend for a month. The moment I write it in my little black book, some weird kind of voodoo happens and I'm saving money like a ninja.
Lee Baker, delayed gratification. And that's a struggle. I've struggled with that forever. I'm impulsive, but I've had to put guardrails up so I don't have a $1,000 blowout.
Yeah.
I have a $20 blowout.
Yeah, you've got to cap everything, I reckon. Mm. You've got to segment it for sure. But
Scott Critchley said a John Pigeon clarity call. It was a good money hack.
Yeah. Well done, Scott.
They've already gone up to $400, everyone, so just pay $50 to me and $350 to Johnson and you'll have a good call.
Brianna Thomas, I usually look at something, be like, ooh, I want that, walk away, and if I forget about it 2 days later, I don't get it because it wasn't important to me anyways. So that is a good one. Might sit in the shopping cart for a couple of days.
Reese Doyle, tomato sauce is free from McDonald's if you ask. Oh, we've got to talk about McDonald's, guys.
Do we?
We do. And if you're listening, Ronald, I've got an issue.
Well, sadly, Ray Kroc, the founder, passed away some time ago.
Okay, well, I'm still going to say I'm disappointed. What's with your McFlurries? Piss them off. Just call it a Sunday with crap on top. The whole thing with the McFlurry was they would put it in and the machine would mix it all.
Yeah.
But now they've got rid of those mixing machines and the special spoons and they just – oh, here's your M&M McFlurry, a.k.a. bowl of ice cream with M&Ms on top, and I got to mix it up myself like I'm a, I don't know, a mixing machine. Not happy.
What I'm taking from that is your GP's just said your blood pressure was high and your BMI was out of control and you're having McFlurries that have, yeah.
Look, I'm not going to lie, John. In recent weeks, moving up to Newcastle and finishing up the painting at Blue Bay and all that,
yeah,
it was like 5 or 6 days worth of work. I worked so hard in my life painting and, yeah, you know, 2 days into it, I'm like, why didn't I just pay someone for this? This is ridiculous.
I'm surprised you didn't actually.
Well, it was, you know, those 10-minute jobs. No, but what I did was I'm like, oh, I'll do the cladding outside as well. And I'm like, oh, well, it's common property strata, so I'll do all the other cladding. Yeah. So I'm like doing bloody – and then the neighbour sees you on the ladder and he's saying hi, and next minute you're next door fixing her stuff. And anyway, so what I'm getting at is –
qualified painter.
I was commuting to Newcastle for like 5 days running.
Yeah.
And sometimes I got a bit snacky. But Macca's.
Swansea or Belmont?
Both. Was Swansea going north, Belmont going south. You wouldn't get it, John. But sort it out, Macca's. Like, seriously, get rid of the McFlurries or get the mixer back. I'm serious. So annoying.
Like, I very rarely go to McDonald's, and the kids always bang on about wanting to go there, but they've done it right. Generally, like, their marketing's been outstanding. Their real estate goes through the roof, makes more money than the McFlurries, and they've got coffee, which entices you in to buy more stuff. They're 24 hours. It's a cookie cutter process. It's an awesome system.
What's your go to burger?
Even though it's all shit food.
Yeah, they do well to make that much money off bad food.
Like, yeah,
it's bad food. It's delicious. Bloody. Pigeons.
Please.
What's your go-to burger, guys?
I actually wouldn't have one. Yeah. Like, it's I don't go there enough to actually have a go-to.
Oh.
What is yours?
I'm loving the Angus, classic Angus. Although I wanted them – my favourite's the McOz, and I want them to bring that back into circulation permanently. They had the beetroot, the onions – I sound like I eat a lot of McDonald's.
Wow, this is fast becoming an advertisement.
I don't, but Macca's, McFlurry, sort it out.
No, I'd actually go the Angus because it reminds me of being on the farm, Tyler. Doesn't it?
Did you have cattle, did you?
No, I didn't, but it sort of does.
Look, if you wanted to go into the Facebook group, everyone, and just search best saving hack, you'll see the post. There is, geez, there's 220 comments on that post.
Wow.
And we have not read even all of them.
Well, there's some content for the next few
shows. So I think it's that's a wrap. We're going to put a button in it. But, yeah, let's just go around the circle, bit of a key takes moment. Pidge, any key takes from today's episode?
Look, mindset for me in an
All right, Tyler.
in an environment where everything's doom and gloom, according to the media and who we speak to, and like, just even though it's even a just passing comment, oh, petrol's high, or this cost me something that really shocked me. I just think we've got to change the transcript on that. So that's the big one for me, Tyler.
Probably don't look into the media too much, and preparation's key.
Preparation's power, isn't it?
Yep. Do you know the 5 P's?
Yes.
Do you know the 5 P's?
No.
Molly, do you know the 5 P's? No. No, she doesn't?
There's actually 6.
Is there?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Prior.
Preparation.
Prevents.
Piss. Poor. Performance. 6.
Yeah.
There we go.
There you go. That's your key takeaway today.
My key takeaway is Maccas need to sort their freaking life out.
Yes.
I'm enraged.
You got shares?
No. I don't think they're listed, are they? How's this? I saw in Russia the other day that, you know, Maccas is being removed and all that, and all these, like, Western companies are, you know, they withdrew from Russia, right?
Yeah.
Let me give you a bit of a lesson in 101 corporations and greed is good and capitalism. These companies are not removing themselves from Russia because they're doing good things and are doing it as a protest. Why are they moving from Russia?
Because they're not getting any sales.
No. Why are they moving from Russia?
To make themselves look good.
They're doing, that's the advertising, but not why. Molly, why?
I don't know.
Because they've turned Swift off. They can't get the money out of there.
Ah, right.
Like, it's just, so yeah, so if everyone's little favourite company was like, oh, we're withdrawing from Russia.
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, that's right. You can't get your money out.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know why I said that, but
yeah, no, it's good intel.
But I'm like, you've just got to have a high level of skepticism.
You do.
Even with this podcast, have a high level of skepticism.
Yes.
Like, this is free to listen to, but guess what? We sell you ads. I'm promoting my online course all the time. Buy the book. Like, we don't work for free, and I don't encourage anyone else to work for free, but you just always have to look under the hood.
Yes.
Like, there's a budgeting app that's out there at the moment, and it's a free budgeting app, John. What could be better than that? I don't know. A McFlurry that actually is mixed.
Yeah.
So, but this free – watch yourself, Tyler. You'll be out of here. This free budgeting app, they're so noble, John. They let you feed your bank accounts into it and they track your net worth. Oh, it's so good, and you can have a nice chart. But guess what? You go to the website. They're trying to sell you crappy loans, consolidate your debt, harvest your data, and that's how they make the money.
It's a bit of clickbait.
You've always got to see, you've got to follow the money, number one. And when companies approach us to advertise on the show, if it's ambiguous, is that the word?
Ambiguous. Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Ambiguous. You've got to ask the question, how do you make money?
Yeah.
And I said that this PR person a couple of years ago, they did approach the show and they wanted to advertise the product. I looked on the website and I said, I can't have this product. I can't promote this product because you say you want to empower people to have good budgets and, you know, track their money. But you ultimately a shop front for loan consolidations and personal loans.
Yeah.
And that's not solving the problem.
No. It's worse.
And then they'll harvest your account for car insurance. And they'll have, like, we don't do, most people don't do anything out of the goodness of our hearts. As much as I like this podcast, I also like money and I like making it because it feeds people.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's a feel good thing that we're doing.
My demeanor changed after I stood up. I got all empowered.
Yeah. Well, I think it was actually after the McDonald's conversation.
That was actually what it was. I was, oh man, I honestly can't believe it. And who do I tell?
Well, I could guarantee
you one thing. Do you want to write to head office? I'm going to write to their Instagram.
Somewhere in the US. But I could guarantee you one thing. You got more energy from talking about McDonald's than you would from eating it.
I reckon I would have got some short-term energy from smashing one of those delicious burgers.
No, I'm out.
Yeah. Tyler, thanks for being part of My Millennial Money.
Thanks for having me. Been a pleasure.
I hope this was the highlight of your work experience, was it?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. What's been the highlight so far?
Oh, I went down to GWS this morning.
Yeah, see,
that was pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. Any of the fellas listen to this podcast?
They do, actually. Yeah. Remember we had Adam Kennedy on?
Yeah. He wouldn't still listen. People don't listen.
Totally. He messaged me the other day about something.
All right,
they say they listen.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the true why. Kenners, if you still listen, slide into my DM and tell me. Glennie_James on Instagram. If you're a Swans player or what are they? GWS?
Whatever.
Yeah. Oh, did I tell you? You were at a funeral or something the other day. You were somewhere sad and I text you and I was like, hey, I'm at my first AFL game.
Oh, yes. Where was I then?
You were somewhere and I'm like, oh, I feel bad.
You felt bad?
Well, yeah. I'm just like, you, pigeon, I'm at my first AFL game. You, go to the Reds or whatever they're called.
No, I think I was freaked out because you were so excited by it. I don't know. What were you doing there? Did you get lost?
No, I went to the AFL.
Yeah, I know, but what made you go there?
A friend.
Hooked you up a ticket.
We got connections, John.
Yeah, good on you. Who's your highlighted Sydney Swans player?
No idea.
You're on your phone all the time.
No, I just, it's, look, we've kind of morphed into the after party, so turn off everyone, whatever. Yeah. I'm a structure guy, right? I'd rather watch league than AFL.
Please.
Structure. Wow. Need structure.
You like them just banging into each other.
No, I like, okay, well, we've got six tackles. We've got a bloody team and we've got a line. We can't do offside and all that stuff and forward passes and I don't know.
Mm. Okay.
Just like a bit of structure.
Who's your team?
I don't have a team. I don't care for it.
Nah. It's why it works. Yin and yang.
Who's yin? And who's yang?
I don't know. What does yin do?
I don't know. Okay, bye.
We acknowledge the Darkin Young people, traditional custodians of the land on which our studio sits, and pay respect to their elders, past and present. We extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who may listen to our podcast.
My Millennial Money supports A21, a charity focused on abolishing slavery and human trafficking all over the world. Check out a21.org.au for more info. If you would like some other giving options, or if you're unsure about which charity you can support, head to thelifeyoucansave.org.au.
This podcast is for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general financial advice only, which does not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Because of that, you should consider if the advice is appropriate to you and your needs before acting on the information. If you do choose to buy a financial product, read the product disclosure statement and obtain appropriate financial advice tailored to your needs. Symo Interactive Proprietary Limited, the publisher of the podcast, is an authorised representative of Money Sherpa Proprietary Limited, which holds financial services license 451289.